listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I went down to the river. I sat down on the bank. I tried to think but couldn't, so I jumped in and sank. I came up once and hollered. I came up twice and cried. It was the water. If that water hadn't have been so cold, I might have sunk and died. But it was cold in that water. It was cold. I took the elevator 16 floors above the ground. I thought about my baby and I thought I would jump down. I stood there and I hollered. I stood there and I cried. And if it hadn't have been so high, I would might have jumped and died. But it was high up there. It was high. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Tuesday. And tomorrow we'll have Comedy Outliers on. That should be fun.
Yay!
You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. Appreciate everybody who takes the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme.
Yeah, and if we sound different, y'all, we got a new mixer. We trying to get everything together.
Yeah, it feels a little weird.
It
right
does.
Now.
Don't sound right.
Yeah, it sounds like everything
I'm in
is
the tin can. I don't know why.
right. I don't know why
I sound like I am like a tin can in the string talking to you right now.
I feel like a robot or some shit.
Like I'm echoing within myself.
Yeah,
I don't know how we sound, chat room. Do we sound fine?
Because
I know I don't sound right to me right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Might need to message the setting some more, but I don't want to do it live on the air.
I know, right? They say we sound fine.
All right, if they say so. Yeah. I could, you know, I'm gonna fuck with it. Hold on one second, y'all.
And maybe because we deal with sound all the time.
Yeah, I feel like that sounds better.
That sounds better, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's way better.
Right, because I just felt like I was echoey.
I just felt like I was yelling without yelling. I don't know. I feel like when your mama's staring at you in church. I don't know how to explain
it. Right, I was like, ooh, this don't sound right.
It's too much. Anyway, guys, you can find this show, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by nobody. It's just us.
Just me and you.
Time to get into the podcast, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's just me and you.
Ooh, baby. Oh, question. Who is that at the beginning?
SZA.
Oh, that's
oh, you talking about the poem?
Yes.
Oh, Langston Hughes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm doing something new now. Trying to take poets and do that. I shouldn't tell y'all who it is. I should do it just like the rap. Y'all go Google the lyrics and y'all will find these beautiful poems and you guys will be informed. So I think I'm not even gonna tell anybody anymore. Like I told y'all Nikki Giovanni yesterday, but I think that's it. I think you guys are on your own after this.
You don't know if you don't get rap or poetry. I know the literary heads gonna be like, I know that's when finally some shit I know he talking about.
Yeah, so you know, let's edify you motherfuckers, okay?
You got some people say yes right up my alley, Rod.
Yeah, we're gonna try to hook y'all up, okay? Let's see, what should we even start with? I had some random thoughts. I did have a couple of those. So I shaved my beard down this morning.
Okay.
Not that Karen would notice, guys. She doesn't care. But no. I shaved it down this morning, and I gotta tell you something. Now I know what it's like when women talk about getting a breast reduction. Okay.
That ain't the same.
It's a lot of pressure. A lot of people talking about what about, you know, how your natural beauty. And listen, sometimes you have to cut it down for your own, you know, they was getting too warm under this beard. Okay. It was getting a little too much. You know, it's getting a little too heavy. It's starting to hurt my back, you know. And I know all the fellas with beards, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, a lot of jealous men without beards is talking about, oh, if I had a big old beard like that, I'd never cut it. Well, you know what? Too bad. Okay, everybody got different problems, all right? You know, you probably wouldn't be able to afford all the oils and all that kind of stuff you had to put on this thing as well. So
a lot of maintenance.
It's a lot of maintenance, you know, a lot of trimming up and all this stuff. You got to be more careful about how you shave your face because you don't want to fuck up your beard and have it looking messed up on one side. And nothing better than getting home from a long, hard day of work and just unstrapping this beard and letting it hang, you know, just when nobody's around, nobody judging, nobody trying to rub their fingers through it or step all up on you. And, touch it. It's just, you know, I don't need to be objectified every day. People just looking at my beard. Like, my eyes are up here, guys. So let's try to keep it, you know, keep it PC.
Well, yeah, your beards and breasts have one thing in common. They both get food caught in them.
I didn't say anything about breasts, and I don't know how that came into this conversation necessarily.
You said breast reduction.
I did. Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that it's the same. I'm just saying it's similar how it's treated.
Yeah, you know,
I didn't know food got caught in breasts, but
they do. They do. They're a good food catcher.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know it's there. You look down, you're like, what the hell? How did that get between there? That's something good. You pick it out, eat it, and keep it going.
I did not know that was a thing.
It is.
So,
or you take your bra off and shit be falling, but like, what the fuck that come from?
You know, it's all good. It is all good.
Mm-hmm. So they do got that in common.
At any rate, I'm glad I could cut it down. It was getting too hot. And then it gets in, like, you start eating it and it can get caught in your food and stuff. It's just not good.
Mm-hmm. Big breast can too.
Shout out to Facebook for being the thirstiest app going.
Come on.
Good grief, man. I don't even be trying to look thirsty, and it made me look thirsty the other day, man. Did you guys, and maybe y'all young single people, y'all know all this shit because y'all, you know, are out there trying to fuck. But I don't necessarily know all the etiquette of the internet. But, you know, people have Facebook stories.
Yes, because I started doing them recently.
Yeah, I did one or two, but I stopped.
I like the Facebook stories.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the problem with these stories. Do you know if you react to a Facebook story, like even if you just send like a smiley face or like a, you know, thumbs up or whatever, it turns into a direct message for the person?
Yeah, and now that is weird. I was like, you do know this could have went on a normal timeline. Like, why is we going behind the scenes?
Yeah.
Like, it is weird. I'm used to it now, but all of a sudden you'd be like, oh, I got a happy face, or I got a thumbs up, or and you're like, what is it? Oh, I said, oh, didn't I have to look to see what they're responding to? I was like, oh, you're responding to my post. And I don't know if the people responding knows that that's what happened. Some people just respond to stuff. They don't know that's where it goes.
I definitely didn't know. And I do not like that. Like, I follow way too many black women to be sliding in their DMs because they put a Facebook story up. It don't look right. You know what I mean? And like, for a while, at first I didn't know what was happening because like, you know, I like somebody like, oh, cool, going, you know, because people put on there like going to the gym or this funny joke that I thought of or something that normally
like
it would
those.
Be a status, right? Mm-hmm. And I laugh emoji or something like that, you know? And then like, a little bit later, I get like a direct message from the person and they'd be like, oh, ha, 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 or something. And I'm like, why are you direct messaging me? You know, not that there's anything wrong with direct messaging me,
right?
But that's such a weird thing to do all I did was like your picture. And then all of a sudden I realized I went through all my direct messages and it looked like I had been direct messaging people all fucking day. men and women, by the way, but still.
Right.
It like I've been direct messaging people all fucking day because it was just like thumbs up, heart emoji,
laughing
emoji, everybody. I was like, damn, like, you know, I don't know how many people, like, I mean, and I'm sure some people do it on purpose to be like, hey, you looking good in that, you know, whatever. But
that's not my purpose.
So weird. I don't like it. Not a fan. And
I
then
don't
the
know
other
why
thing.
It's like that either. Instagram is like that too.
I haven't done it on, well, Instagram is different. I follow people for thirst on Instagram. It's fine.
Now I do
like,
too.
It's a mix of friends and thirst on Instagram. Instagram doesn't really count as the internet.
Mm-mm.
But, the other thing too though was, if you become friends with somebody, it sends you a Facebook message like, so and so a friend now, you want to talk to them? Like,
right. I think that's weird. I know they follow me, like I don't want to send the request. Sometimes they send me the request and it makes me think, okay, somebody DM'd me, maybe something happened, maybe, you know, maybe something with the show, like I start going, okay, well maybe I need to tell Rod something, and it'd be like, hey, you just became friends. I was like, you want a wave? I was like, wave for what the fuck is a wave?
Right, so I don't know, man. It's just weird.
I'm old.
I'm not a fan of that shit. Like, get off my lawn, you know?
Right, because it doesn't make sense.
Like, I don't like anything. Anyway, I don't like it.
Yeah, and just like poke, I don't know what the hell a poke is. I ain't never poked nobody before.
That's old though. They had poke on Facebook since it started, you know, and that was always kind of a weird thing. I didn't understand how it's supposed to work, but they've had, at least they've had it from the inception. These Facebook stories, there's no way to know that it's gonna be a direct message until you use it.
Oh, you don't? No, I, because I know,
like,
I didn't.
Even wanting to poke somebody seems weird to me. Right? But like saying like, haha, that's a funny joke you told on your Facebook story, or, you know, oh, that's so cute, like, that's that shouldn't be a direct message. That's just a weird thing that Facebook is doing.
And I don't know.
Is it like trying to be Snapchat?
I don't know. Because everybody trying to be everybody. And also, I think because your stories are on your main timeline, if that makes sense. Like, people have to actually go looking for your story. So I think they want to keep it separate. Because when you do, because the thing is, for those of you that don't know, most of the phones and apps, the story's at the top. A lot of people don't even know what the fuck that is. All these little circles, because I didn't know what it was for a long time, y'all. So I'm explaining to people that don't know. On Facebook, you have like all these little circles that go across the top. And a lot of those are either live feeds that people have previously done, or their little like gifts and stuff that live stories that people have done over time. And they're normally about, you know, a few seconds, and then they go to the next one because it's similar to Instagram. But I know a lot of Facebook people don't deal with Instagram, and most people ignore those. But if you touch on those, you can see little things people do. They have little things people have, like cat faces, mouse faces, ears, you know, all mm-hmm. these little features you can do. And I think that they want to keep that separate from the regular timeline. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm assuming they do DM, but they have to, I think they need to find a better way.
Yeah, it's just a weird, I don't know, it's just weird.
Anyway. I mean, you should be able to see them, and I think that's their way of letting you see them without it being on like your main feed.
Yeah.
Since you didn't put the story, quote unquote, on your main feed. Cause that's, and it's weird though, look like they would go in both places, look like you, when you do it, it would go on like the store if you want to see it, or your main feed, but mm-hmm. it doesn't.
Such a weird thing. Anyway, let's get into some other, that's all my random thoughts. Let's get into some other news. Man, this shit sounds epic.
Oh shit, we've been on the HD till, didn't we? Extra $9.99 title.
That wasn't title, that was Spotify. It was just a new mixer.
Oh, it sounds so much better.
I still need to turn you down. You sound,
oh, am I yelling at everybody?
Nah, I know, you know, once the show starts, start talking, it's just natural for our voices to get louder.
That's true.
Jay-Z and his mama are gonna receive a GLAAD media honor following her coming out.
Oh.
Jay-Z and his mother, Gloria Carter, will be honored at the GLAAD Media Awards this year, following Carter bravely coming out in her son's critically acclaimed track, Smile. The special recognition category for the awards, which recognize fair, accurate, and inclusive representations of LGBTQ individuals over the past year, is typically quite varied. Along with Jay-Z, the animated short In a Heartbeat will be honored this year. Last year, honorees included Her Story, a short film of a short form dramedy series about two trans women in LA. We've been around a series of short films highlighting trans figures throughout history, and Sin Ir Mas Lejos, a song by Gemma Corradera about queer love. The song from Jay-Z's Grammy nominated album 444 was the first time the rapper and his mom openly discussed her lesbian identity. And centering LGBTQ representation, Smile stands apart from a genre with an embedded history of homophobia. Following a sample from Stevie Wonder's Love in Need of Love, Love's in Need of Love Today, Jay-Z raps the lines, "Mama had four kids, but she's a lesbian, had to pretend so long that she's a thespian. Cried tears of joy when you fell in love, don't matter to me if it's a him or her." Toward the end of the track, Carter recites a poem about her experience. She writes, "No harm for them, no harm for me, but life is short and it's time to be free. Love who you love because life isn't guaranteed." In September 2017, Carter also spoke about the song and coming out to her son in an interview with Deus Friday podcast. For her, the conversation was a long time coming. "I just finally started telling Jay who I was. Besides your mother, this is the person who I am, that I am. This is the life that I live. So to my son, my son started actually tearing. He's like, that had to be a horrible life, Ma. I was like, my life was never horrible. I was never ashamed of me," she added. Smile isn't the first time Jay-Z has spoken out about LGBTQ issues. In 2012, he expressed support for same-sex marriage during an interview with CNN. "What people do in their own homes is their business, and you can choose to love whoever you love. That's their business. It is no different than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, plain and simple." The song and much of 444 was presented as an exploration of truth. In other tracks, he explores his relationship with toxic masculinity, opens up about his infamous affair. The album currently leads the Grammy pack with 8 nominations, including one for Album of the Year. Obviously, it didn't win, but yeah, that's dope, I think.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And I think that's one of the reasons 444 was kind of such a dope album and a good moment for hip hop in a lot of ways. Great. To see somebody that was lifelong dedicated to toxic masculinity kind of crack a bit, because I think it's time for people to put some of that shit down and to have a look at what makes people tick and why we feel the way we do, why we want to express rage the way we do.
Correct.
Why we move the way we do, stuff like that. And I think it was a great album that explored that, you know. Let's see. Police after Russia's first legally married gay couple. Yes, of course, the police would need to get involved in this. The Russia LGBT network posted on Facebook that the country's first legally recognized gay married couple is being pursued by police. The message was posted several hours ago. It says that the apartment of Eugene, I cannot pronounce his last name, but I'm going to try, Wojciechowski, I think that's right, and Pavel Stasko, whose marriage in Denmark was registered in Moscow earlier this week, is currently surrounded by police. The police does not state the reason for their appearance. Right now, they cut off the electricity and internet connection. The report comes after Pavel told the radio station Svoboda yesterday that the police visited the parents' home searching for him and that his relatives have been getting threatening phone calls. Earlier this month, Eugene and Pavel got married in Denmark. Last week, the registry office in Moscow stamped their passports validating their marriage. The Russian family code does not explicitly forbid recognition of foreign same-sex marriages. So, of course, with this being a groundbreaking thing, Russia's like, and now we have to put you in jail. The story was reported by many news outlets in Russia, a country where 74% of people do not believe that homosexuality is acceptable. Ooh, that's a lot of people. One television channel, Rain TV, required visitors to their site to confirm that they were over 18 to watch the interview with the couple. Another way of hiding homophobia behind, we need to protect these kids. Well, if you're not 18, you shouldn't even watch an interview with two men that are gay. I mean, you might catch it. You know?
The TV waves.
You might just be walking down the street, watching this on your phone. Next thing you know, you're out here having gay sex because...
Oh, only adults are gay?
You can't help yourself. You're falling in love with a man because you're 17 and you watch this video by mistake. The video is just three adults discussing legal issues at a table, something that isn't remotely obscene outside the context of virulent homophobia. Interior Minister Vitaly Milonov said yesterday that the legislature will urgently pass legislation to close this legal loophole, comparing Eugene and Pavel's marriage to marrying farm animals. Oh, that popular trope. And then later the ministry declared their passports to be invalid. Okay. So, you got that going on. 2017 was the deadliest year on record for LGBT people in Brazil. In 2017, there were 387 murders and 58 suicides of LGBT people, up from 30% in 2016.
Ooh.
Brazil has a high homicide rate. However, the watchdog has said that they have only included deaths that were directly caused by homophobic or transphobic violence. So it could be more. We just don't know.
Correct. Mm-hmm. They misgender people.
Luiz Mott, the president of Grupo Gay de Bahia, said that the rising levels of violence were partially caused by the growth and publicity of ultra-conservative politicians.
Right. A lot of times they come from America and go to these other parts of the world.
Yeah, so the politicians might not, but a lot of times the money, the churches, like a lot of these mega churches and the money they export, some of that shit is to make it where places that don't have laws that protect LGBTQ people, to change those, to make it more aggressive there. So that could also be it, but I'm just saying the connection between conservative politicians having an actual real effect on lives lost of marginalized people. I mean, we see that here. We see that everywhere.
We do.
You know, I'm not sure what it is about conservatives that somehow coincidentally always lead to more people dying of the groups they don't like, but here we are.
And know a lot of those people being put in poverty, which also causes dying.
Right. But in this case, we're talking about violent murders and homicides and suicides. We're not even just talking about, you know, like this is just the general, like the general society. 30%? 30%? That's like a 30% increase in a year?
I mean, that's a large number.
And wait till they start calculating this shit with, cause I know they've done some calculations, but when they calculate these hate crimes, these mass shootings and all this shit after Trump, watch. It's a discourse that destroys solidarity and equates LGBT people to animals, because a lot of people have Brazilian television programs that link homosexuality to satanic forces. We probably got those here. 700 Club probably do that. Human rights groups have responded to the statistics by condemning the Brazilian government for failing to protect LGBT people. Jerima Wernick, executive director of Amnesty International Brazil, said that whilst Brazil has aimed to introduce protections for vulnerable LGBT people, these proposals have often failed. She said in the last decade, Brazil looked to produce policies that could protect vulnerable groups like gay and trans people, but they mostly failed due to a lack of investment or change in the vision of policy. This follows a 2016 report by Grupo Gay de Bahia. I'm fucking up names so bad today. They found that LGBT people were killed. One person was killed every 25 hours in Brazil.
Good God.
Every day. A 2016 survey found that 343 members of the LGBT community were killed in homophobic, biphobic, or transphobic situations in the past 12 months.
Oh.
Yep. One death that attracted international attention was the murder of Dandara Dos Santos after a video of her pleading for her life went viral. Dandara Dos Santos, 42, was taken from her home, beaten, stripped, and thrown into a wheelbarrow before being taken away to be killed. A gang of six men who attacked her and cheered as they kicked, punched, and beat her with shoes and planks of wood. The terrified woman who lived in Fortaleza in northeastern Brazil was seen wiping blood from her face and body in the video while pleading for attackers to stop. Instead, the men taunt her about her breasts and throw transphobic and homophobic insults at her, telling her in Portuguese they will kill the faggot. After the video attracted national attention, 8 men were arrested for a murder. And then what will happen?
Right.
Also, because it attracted national attention, that's why y'all did something?
That's the only reason why.
Like, this is the shit that bothers me when I hear people say stuff like, it's not the same for gay and trans people, and when it comes to race, especially since you're automatically erasing all of the people of color that are black and, I mean, that are trans and gay and stuff. But nigga, this is death. That's no different than a lynching to me.
Come on.
Eight men gathered to kill somebody, you know, like what are we talking about? And if it, and bold enough to have it on film, by the way, you know, think about that,
because they didn't think anything was going to happen.
Like, she wasn't doing anything to deserve, like, there was nothing she could possibly have been doing to deserve to die. You know, there's nothing she could have been doing. So it's just yeah, the entitlement, and they are facing the same fucking struggle that black people faced and still face in America when it comes to this shit. And some people are black, some of these countries, man, I don't see how that's any different than stringing somebody up. I don't see how it's any different,
right?
And yeah, I've seen people look me dead in my face and be like, you can't even compare.
Cause the anger comes from the same fucking place.
Right.
I hate you because you exist.
Right. It's, that's sad. The gay Mormon who made headlines for staying with his wife is, surprise, getting a divorce. Remember that Mormon guy, Josh Weed, who came out as gay but decided to stay married to his wife? Now, almost 6 years later, he and his wife are getting a divorce. They also apologize to the LGBTQIA community and to anybody who was hurt by our story over the last 5 years. Why did you volunteer to be the story that people would use against LGBTQ people, QIA people, to be like, hey, it's all a choice to me. Y'all see, if he can do it, he defeated homosexuality and shit like that. Why volunteer to be that person? You didn't, because you could have had your private struggle and dealt with all this shit with no cameras,
right, outside no the press, limelight.
And you wouldn't be looking dumb. Like, I'm not rooting against you. I don't want to root against you. I'm happy you're living your truth. Mm-hmm. I'm happy you're out. I'm happy you finally accepted who you are, blah, blah, blah. But your story was used to keep a lot of people beat down and in the closet and feeling bad and guilty for just being who they are. So you let yourself be used for all that shit, then come out the end like, my bad, guys. I'm so sorry. That was crazy, right? Like, you probably got money talking in churches and shit. Like, it's just crazy. For instance, childhood, Lolly and Josh Weed married, even though Josh came out to her when he was 16. 2012, the Weeds came famous after they wrote a blog post in which he claimed to have a robust sex life, despite Josh confirming he has zero sexual attraction to women. The couple and their children were even the subjects of a Nightline special. Many attacked Josh Weed for being a reparative therapist, which he denied. I don't believe that a gay person can or even should change their sexual attraction, he said. I do not practice, nor do I believe in reparative therapy or change therapy. Quite the opposite. My therapeutic stance is one that favors but does not depend on the idea that sexual orientation is immutable. Today, we need to let you know that Lolly and I are divorcing, the couple explains at length. He said this in a new blog post published earlier this week. The couple explains at length how they came to the realization. He mentioned three factors: love for the LGBTQ population, love for himself as a gay person, and the death of his mother. How much of that was just you didn't want to let your mama down and shit, and then she died and you was like, finally. I wonder. He apologized for the ways, he said, we apologize for the way our posts have been used to bully others, to gay Mormons, and to any LGBTQIA person who was given false hope by our story. Yeah, man. I mean, you knew that that's how they were going to use your story, despite you saying like, I didn't mean it that way. Well, there's no other way that it was going to be taken. You knew putting this out in a homophobic society, people would use you as the example of, now that's a good Christian man, right? Good Mormon man right there. That man understands, okay? He also writes that his stance on homosexuality, while once aligned with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has changed. There was an emphasis on perfect obedience, and yet over the course of my lifetime, the list of things said by these trusted leaders about my sexual orientation was profoundly inconsistent and confusing. We wish nothing but the best for the former couple, and we hope they find happiness in the next chapter of their journey, says horntap.com. So that's wild. But yeah, I'm shocked.
Right.
30 drag queens resign in a protest over a gay bar owner's racism. First of all, I did not know drag queens could resign from Like, did they work there? Like, how does that work?
You getting a paycheck, 401k, taking out taxes.
Man, he was employing 30 grad queens? Wow. Racist Facebook post written by the owner of an Atlanta gay bar surfaced yesterday to draw bar's drag queens walked out in protest.
I would too!
Palmer Marsh, who owns... Well, you're black, Karen.
Oh.
Palmer Marsh, who owns Buckhart's Pub, posted several racist messages on Facebook in 2015. One of them said that the South should have been won... should have won the Civil War. Another called Barack Obama the N-word.
Not the N-word, dog!
On the gay bar.
Nachos!
I wonder if he would have said it's different.
Come on.
The oppression that y'all faced. It ain't nothing the same. Call Barack Obama the N-word. Holy shit. Yeah, obviously Vladimir Putin thinks that Barack Obama's a stupid nigger. He just might be right. I used to think the NYC was the most intimidating place on earth. Thanks to Mayor Rudy Giuliani, it's become one of the most delightful places on our earth. Conservative values can count literally by the trillions. Seemed to me that six years have been like a comfortable time of when the Peanut Man was on the hill. I hope, is that a racist thing, Peanut Man, for
I don't know
for Obama. I hope the Jeffersons are still moving on up. Wow, today the crackers feel like they are swimming upstream. That was from February 2015. Here in Brunswick, GA, there's a billboard that reads, Blue Lives Matter, indeed. My friends don't want to talk to me because I like Trump too sad. I'm still Mary Marsh. My Confederate money that I inherited is on my kitchen counter right now. Steal the money if you like, but don't try to take my flag because you might get seriously injured by doing so. Marsh, 70, and his wife Mary have not commented on the Facebook post or the backlash. I wonder if he just owned a gay bar and he just like, it's just a business I'm investing in, but I guess I'm surprised. Shouldn't say surprised.
Or
there's something about the fact that he owns a gay bar and he thought it was perfectly fine to be racist. So, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just something about it that's just so weird. You know, and I'm guessing maybe it's just a business to him. Like, it's just, hey, I own a gay bar, I own a Hardee's, I own, you know, like.
You own a McDonald's, right. Yeah,
like, I wouldn't say anything bad about Hardee's, so I won't say anything bad about gay people because they go to my bar. But I should be free to talk bad about black people. But LGBTQ community in Atlanta reacted loudly. There was so much outcry that Buckhart's closed his Facebook account. Bar manager Doug Youngblood, told 11 Alive that the business on Thursday night was half of what it usually is. We are being boycotted, he said.
You don't say your fucking gay bar. You don't think they're black gays?
And this isn't the kind of thing where the Make America Great Again crowd is going to come out and support your business to prove a point.
Come on.
Because they hate gay people.
So they not going to show up.
They can't even do like the half-hearted Papa John's bullshit. Like they just like, sorry, but I'm not stepping my hand up in the sewer hole or whatever the fuck y'all call it. On Thursday, the drag queen said that they were feeling pressure from the community too. Even though the owner put those words out there, no one sees the owner. Everyone looks at what are the girls going to do?
Right.
Are they going to leave? Are they going to say something? Shavonna Brooks said, adding that racism has been a recurring problem at the bar. After a staff meeting on Thursday, so they've been on the shit was a problem. It just finally blew up. Entertainment director Phoenix announced that she and the other queens of Buckhart's were all resigning. It pains me and also terrifies me to say that I've officially turned in my resignation beginning now. Also, as a whole, all entertainers that are under my direction have turned in their resignation. Several of the queens posted messages on social media themselves, often discussing fears of what will happen to them without their income. Hey, that shit is scary.
Right, and it's one of those things where somebody was saying, you piss off 30 queens, it's gonna affect your business. You know, people actually come for certain people. Well, I like this dancer, I like that dancer, I like the way this person performs, like, and those people aren't there anymore, and people are like, why the fuck am I here?
Yeah, and the thing is, do they have a recourse? Like, is there another place they can go? Is there some, you know, can you take your business elsewhere? Like, right. You know, if you were an asset to this bar, maybe you can be an asset to another bar. But I do admit that it is scary, and it's often what paralyzes people from doing the right thing.
Right.
It's like you get stuck in a situation where, like, I can't miss this check though. And we all know that struggle.
Right. And you know, and a lot of people, and including myself, it's real easy to tell somebody, nigga, fuck that job and walk away when I don't got to deal with the missed paycheck and right. I don't have to deal with coming short up on a rent and I don't have a family to feed and I don't have the bills or whatever it is coming my way. It's real easy to tell somebody, well, you know, don't do this, don't participate and boycott and shit like that. But yeah, you're already in a marginalized group where a lot of times it's even hard to work. Period. I mean, just to work. And then you right. are steady working and you have to resign because a motherfucker forced you in the spot where if you didn't resign, it will almost mess up your name and your reputation if you were to go somewhere else.
Right. So I, you know, that sucks.
Right.
But I actually will go out and say I appreciate them for doing it, even if I think they got to a point where they had to because their hand was forced. So it's not a completely altruistic Mm-mm. grandstand move, but even still, there's so many people that would have been like, man, we just gotta do what we gotta do, get this check, blah blah. But you know, if patronage was down half, then you know, then they already, the word was already out. So this isn't like the huge martyrdom that it would have been, say, like months before. Like, say I overheard this guy say something racist and then was like, fuck it, I'm out. But it is a significant step, and hopefully this does bring about change.
Right, because, and that's really funny, you in goddamn Atlanta, Georgia. Like, it's a lot of people, gay people everywhere, but Atlanta is one of the kind of meccas down south.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where it's like, hey, you pissing off a big community out here. And they're like, what you not gonna do is this bullshit.
I will not be used, nor will I help put money in someone's pocket that finds it acceptable to use the N-word towards any POC. I'm terrified because it's a large chunk of my financial income. That's what Eva Destruction said on Instagram. I love drag queen names. That's the best part.
Ain't they the best?
When we wore the weight of the community on our shoulders this weekend, it didn't feel good. Shavonna Brooks said, this is how we survive. This is how we feed ourselves. The bar closed early last night and a meeting was scheduled for today to discuss the controversy. So I don't know if that bar is still open or not. And I don't know what you do when the dude that owns it is the one who's, you know, a piece of shit.
Right. And he didn't think that was going to affect his money. Cause, the thing is, for him, I can guarantee you, he didn't expect this backlash.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's get to some other sections. How about, I'm gonna save that for tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll go to taking out the trash. Okay. As soon as I can get that sound clip up. All right. There we go.
The band done got full.
I just didn't have it open. I wasn't prepared to do this segment until just now. To take out the trash, guys, see who's being trash around here. I got some old ones I hadn't got to.
Okay.
Watch Arizona GOP-er, I guess, Republican, accused of sexually harassing 9 women, hijacks a training session to make creepy jokes.
He hijacks a train?
Hijacks a training session.
Oh, hijacked a training session. Oh, I thought that was like this nigga out here hijacking trains. So he hijacked a training session for some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to say, what is you doing hijacking trains, my nigga?
Mm-hmm. Got to turn you down again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Now we gotta get these levels right. We did the mic check. It was mic check 1 2 1 2.
Yes, because I was
started talking. Oh, you jacking chains? Like, okay. An Arizona Republican state legislator who has been accused of sexually harassing female colleagues began his apology speech with a joke, and then went on to point fingers in self-defense.
Who was he pointing fingers at? Everybody else?
Members, I know you all want to thank. That's literally what pointing fingers means, Karen. Everybody else. Members, I know you all want to thank me for my part in bringing you here today. He said as a joke, because it's the beginning of a mandatory harassment and discrimination training for Attorney General's office.
Mandatory.
So he tried to make a joke. Like, ha, isn't this funny? Mm-mm. It's all because I couldn't keep my hands to myself, and here we are in this meeting.
And this bitch is
not. Why is he allowed to speak?
Right.
Shouldn't this be shut up and listen time for the guy who sexually harassed 9 people? The fact that they haven't even fired you yet.
Right. Don't they got an HR person whose job it is, like, you know, their job is to go over this bullshit and parse it out and make a PowerPoint presentation of shit. This is their job. This is what they do.
I was beyond embarrassed to hear what I thought were welcome and well-intentioned hugs were perceived as creepy and lecherous, he said. I didn't know. As soon as I did know, I have been and am so sorry. Representative Shooter also claimed some accusations were made for a personal or political vendetta. Gotta throw that in there. I mean, now some of them hugs was too much, but some of you bitches just hating. That's all I'm saying. Won't say which ones. The allegations.
You know how them bitches be hating.
The allegations against the Republican legislator started with a Me Too post by conservative state representative Michelle Ungenti Rita, reported in November. Representative Shooter at first apologized to his fellow GOP caucus member, but retracted his apology within hours.
Right, because he didn't mean it.
If you did it, why would you retract so were you lying when you said, I'm sorry I did that, or were you lying when you said, I didn't even do that? I don't know what you're talking about. Since then, I've actually seen the text of Mrs. Ugenti's accusations. I absolutely withdraw my apology, he said. I've been happily married for 41 years. I've never cheated on my wife, and there isn't a woman on this planet I would leave my wife for. The trouble with Miss Ugenti stems from my publicly voiced disapproval over how she conducted herself personally with staff and later with legislation. State Representative Athena Salmon and Winona Benali have also accused him of sexual misconduct. Representative Shooter repeatedly referred to his male genitalia as his gun. The conversation made me extremely uncomfortable.
Why the fuck was he allowed to speak?
Also, that does confirm a lot of our theories about the NRA and these dudes' dicks.
Right. They are like hand in hand.
Parrish told of her first meeting with Representative Shooter. When he told her he had accomplished everything on his bucket list, well, except that one thing, he said. Parrish, who was Korean American, asked about his regret. He said, those Asian twins in Mexico. Don Shooter made a demeaning sexual racial comment to me in his office in front of my attorney. Parrish wrote, that's not right, and that's the truth. The Arizona Capital Times reported Representative Shooter's speech garnered some applause, but many of the women in the house responded with silence.
Yeah, men clapped.
We are so terrible.
Yeah, and then when people go, men ain't trash, I don't want to hear no defense. Like, I don't want to hear no defense. Men TM, like the trademark, men, it got problems. It got, all trademarks got problems, don't get me wrong. But that trademark got a real big problem.
I just don't understand how you don't know not to clap there.
Right.
Like, I don't even, like, he didn't know not to make a joke, but your dumb ass ain't smart enough to know that's not the time to chuck it up. Like, we're in a serious, and then everybody got to turn around and go back to work with these niggas.
Right, we're in a fucking mandatory meeting because of your ass. I'm here because you're fucking up. I could be working, doing other things, taking my 15-minute goddamn break, but I'm here looking at your ass.
We can't even pretend to take this seriously. For the good of our own job.
Right.
For the good of our standing within the job, to just be like, oh, I took that very seriously. Even if you're full of shit. Even if you then turn around and go, man, I don't care about none of this shit. I think it's okay to grab titties. These bitches need to loosen up. You would think at your job, just for appearance's sake, you'd be like, this is terrible. I mean, we're having a very serious meeting.
It happens
meeting.
All the time.
What a fucking idiot.
A lot, everybody been at meetings where you know motherfuckers lying and you go, okay, yeah, we're gonna sing and dance. All right.
All right. Fucking idiots. Idiots. The lot of you. The lot of us. I'm in this group of idiots. It reminded me when, in high school we had this like sexual education course thing, and they took us on this retreat to this camp. I forget where it was, some camp, and they separate the group into boys and girls. I know, very reductive, but it was fucking 1994. What are we gonna do?
Right.
Anyway, they separate into boys and girls, and then like the girls go off with the woman teachers and boys go off with the men teachers, and then you have a meeting where they talk to each group talks about sex and sex education and real life applications of it and the pitfalls and all this stuff. Essentially, what I can't speak for what the girls talked about, but I do know what the guys talked about, and essentially devolved into crude crass jokes between the male mentors and who were like football coaches and different, you know, different walks of life, seemed to have zero training for this. You know, I don't know if they read a book or they just were talking.
All right, so they didn't have people to actually train into talking to people, right?
Not for this.
And you can tell when they don't, because it's just not professional,
right? And so we go to this meeting, and they end up talking about girls that they fucked and going to college, and one dude, how his nightmare was that his girl got a train run on her and he was in love with her, and that was like a big like it was the warning to us as kids, was like, don't fall in love with these kind of girls that let somebody run the train on them. Cause you know that, as if there's all kinds of mess that involves trains. Like, trains are basically rape culture. But
come on.
But still, the point being,
right,
like,
unless you want a train ran on you, right?
Yeah, I'm not trying to. I'm not even trying to suss that out.
Right.
I'm saying the point being, that was our talk. We didn't talk about consent. We talk about, you know, I think we like use a condom, but nothing too. So we come back. And the story he told at the end is, we're all young boys. We're 14, 15 at both, man. And so like, he's telling us the story and we're having the reaction of kids. Like, yeah. And like the way he told stories, like, he kept going. He went up another hallway. It's like a line of men. He go through that door, and then he went up another, like the hall, and it was lying out the door down there. And it was his girl's door. They was in there running the train on her. And everybody's like, oh, you know, shit like that, and guys are laughing because he's saying it like it's funny, you know,
right?
And I don't think we ever once talked about sexual assault. I don't think we ever once talked about consent. I don't think we ever once talked about
rape.
That sexual assault, same thing. Sexual harassment. I don't think we talked about any of that stuff. We come into the meeting with the girls, because at the end you have to go, both groups have to meet, right? We walk out the door, you know, all the guys laughing it up, slapping each other on the back, you know, coaches, like, you know, people got tears running their eyes because they thought those stories about the women and all the horror stories were just so, you know, things that to me sound horrible, but right, they were so funny to the dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk in the door and it's fucking, you could have had her pin drop.
Right.
Almost every single woman in there was dead silent. And I'd say a good 50% of the girls in there were crying.
Right, because the conversation wasn't the same. They probably talked about being victims of sexual assault. They probably talked about being raped. They probably talked about being molested. You name it, they were talking about that shit.
And, you know, it was almost like a slap in the face as soon as we walked in the door laughing. Because you talking about people that have had a very serious conversation, and we had not had a serious conversation.
Mm-mm.
So much so that we thought it was appropriate to walk back in there and be like, ha ha. And you know, you could see the guys kind of try to straighten it up at the end, like, oh. And I was just like, this was a waste of time.
Right.
Like, and I was 14, I was not old, and I don't think I had had sex at that point. I was just old enough to know because I think one of my friends at the time was this girl, Keisha, who was in the, you know, she was obviously in the girls group.
Right.
And we had rode up there, sat next to each other on the bus the whole time. We had classes together. Like, we, you know, cool person. We had talked or whatever, there, whatever, just as friends, completely as friends. And so, you know, we go to take our seats back to where we were sitting. I'm sitting next to her and she's like sobbing. like to the point she don't even really want to talk, you know. And I think like one of the teachers even was sitting next to her, like, so it was like I'm sure she had said some serious shit or experienced some serious shit in that hour or so that we had been apart from each other, and it changed the whole mood of everything. And like, I, to me, it just felt so weird to know that half that room was basically traumatized and half that room was ha ha ha. And that's what this just reminded me of. You're the fucking, and this isn't 14-year-old boys who we did take our lead from these grown men. Don't get me wrong. Them grown men made it seem like ha ha ha. But these are grown men in this room, many of them politicians and all this shit, and they thought it was funny that this dude would make these jokes. It's just wild to me.
They thought the shit was funny, dog.
A Memphis mega pastor admits he molested a minor days before his True Love Waits workshop. 20 years ago, Memphis mega church pastor Andy Savage sexually assaulted a high school senior who was 17 years old. He admitted to the act on his social media platforms. At the time, Savage was in college and working as a staffer at Texas Baptist Church, now known as Stonebridge. He said in his statement that he apologized immediately and asked for forgiveness from the victim. I apologize, sought forgiveness from her, her parents, her discipleship group, the church staff, and the church leaders who informed the congregation. In agreement with wise counsel, I took every step to respond in a biblical way. The response from Savage came after the woman came forward with graphic details to the Wartburg Watch, a site started by two Christian women who pursued their faith. Took every step to respond in a bill. Oh wait, I'm sorry. To started by two Christian women who pursued their faith but saw disturbing trends within Christendom. He turned onto a dirt road, continued to drive. There were trees all around. I could not see the main road anymore from which he turned. I asked what was back there. He told me they were building a church. I thought maybe that's what this is all about. Maybe he had some secret to tell me, like perhaps he was moving to another church. When the two reached a dead end, he turned the truck around and parked. He turned the headlights off, suddenly unzipped his jeans and pulled out his penis and asked me to suck it. I was scared and embarrassed, but I did it. I remember feeling that this must mean Andy loved me. Yeah, because y'all preach that shit, right? Sex equal love. Y'all preach that shit. Don't mean it. Hypocrites. He then asked me to unbutton my shirt. I did. He started touching me over my bra, then lifted my bra, began touching my breast. After approximately 5 minutes, he got out of the truck and ran to her side of the truck, fell to his knees, and begged her for forgiveness. She said she got out the truck feeling terrified and ashamed. He continued to plead with her. Oh my God, what have I done? Oh my God, I'm so sorry. You can't tell anyone, Jules. Please, you have to take this to the grave with you. She remembered. Yeah, so now it's your responsibility. You'll destroy me. Think about me, okay? What about the position I'm in right now? You hold all the cards. She was quickly angered and told him that she wouldn't tell to get him to stop pleading with her. The two got back in the truck. He took her home. I was in shock. In the aftermath, he said the guilt and anxiety of the assault, she said it was eating at her soul. I couldn't concentrate at school. Couldn't think. So many women are dropping out of school and shit after this.
Right, because particularly in college, you know how many young adults drop out of college because of a sexual assault and never pursue their degrees, never go any further, even in high school.
Mm-hmm. As the fear, shame, and anger and hurt consume me. Plus, in this culture, a lot of times the women are blamed. So even right. In the church will probably be like, well, what'd you have on? Why'd you go with him down the dark road? I mean, didn't you know that, you know, they're never going to turn to the dude and be like, he's got to go. It's going to be, now you got to forgive him. I mean, we've covered this before, like that religious school was making people apologize to their rapists and shit for being angry at them. As embarrassing as it was for me to tell all the dirty details of this horrible secret, I had no other choice. What happened to me was not right, nor should have had it been my fault. I had to report this. Little did I know, the very people I was about to entrust to protect me and help me would not only victimize me all over again, but also engage in a cover-up to protect my abuser and the image of the church.
Right.
Steve Bradley was the pastor of Woodlands Parkway Baptist Church, which is now known as Stonebridge. Bradley is still the head pastor of the church 20 years later. Associate Pastor Larry Cotton was who Woodson approached first. She sobbed, telling him every single detail of the horrifying incident. Just as I finished telling my story, Larry immediately spoke up and asked me to clarify. He said something to the effect of, so you're telling me you participated? She recalled what followed was a wave of shame come over her. Yeah. Oh, you sucked his dick? Well, Aziz, I'm sorry. Gotta say, it's your fault. That's how it goes. Yep. Doesn't matter that he fucking pulled you, it doesn't matter that he drove to a place where you were dead by yourself, turned out the lights, in a dead end under false pretenses, you had to be scared.
He's a grown ass man.
He's in a truck and then tells you, yeah, suck my dick. Well, hey, you know what? Sounds like you participated, so I'm gonna have to say this is completely your fault.
Right, so if she would have said no, he'd have beat the hell out of her and killed her, then what?
Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, they ain't called the police. She was told the associate pastor would inform the head pastor in the church would deal with the situation. What does that mean?
Nothing. You mean you're doing nothing.
In the days that followed, Savage went on as though nothing was outside of the norm. In fact, he even taught a workshop titled True Love Waits about sexual purity and abstinence. The workshop wasn't merely about sexual abstinence. It was a full force, no kissing, no touching form of abstinence workshop. So you mean the thing that you did without consent? You didn't preach against. Okay. Wilson fell deeper and deeper into her depression. She ultimately confided to her women's discipleship group. Looking back now, I know without a doubt it was a cry for help. Tears ran down my cheeks. I remember feeling a slight sense of relief as this was no longer just a secret between myself, Andy, Larry, and Steve. However, I too remember feeling as though I just played my last card. I knew I'd broken the rules of silence and that there would be consequences for my action. When word got back to the head pastors, they were forced to act. Savage was removed from a youth group trip skiing and rumors were beginning to spread. Still, the church never told the congregation about what happened. Instead, they held a going away reception for Andy at the church, in which he was allowed to simply say that he made a poor decision and that it was time for him to move on from our church. That does seem to be par for the course. She later learned that her parents never even knew what happened to, so Woodson told them. The church even had the gall to call her parents years later asking if they would be okay bringing Savage back on as a staffer. So the church didn't even the church didn't even tell her parents why, like what happened or any of this shit. But then I guess after they knew that, I was like, well, we should at least call them because we want to hire them again. Woodson said that she wasn't just inspired by the Me Too movement. She was motivated to reveal her story when she saw Savage's social media posts about other men in the news who had sexually harassed and sexually assaulted women. So saddened to hear another high profile person in the midst of sexual misconduct allegation. It's beginning to seem that sex on our own terms isn't working. Go figure. The pastor wrote with a link to a story of Matt Lauer's allegations. The fucking balls on you, bro. The balls. That's a damn, yeah. And then, by the way, you notice how he tried to tie it to like the religious aspect of, yeah, man, it's really wild how y'all out here just having all this sex. You need to have it on God's terms. He can't even do it.
Right, because, and that's the thing, you know, sin is sin, you know, when they talk about it. And it's one of those things where just because you're in the church, it doesn't mean that sin doesn't happen there. And it doesn't mean that people don't sleep with each other, pastors don't sleep with armor bearers and all that stuff too. And just like y'all try to quote unquote hold these heathens accountable, you need to be held accountable too. In fact, truth be told, you need to be held accountable to a higher calling, you know, because that was the quote unquote the purpose of going into religion. So Yes, we need to act, and we need to act swiftly, and we need to say no, this is not acceptable behavior. But nobody ever wants to do that, but yet you want to look at anybody else outside of the church and call them heathens and sinners and everybody's gonna die and burn and go to hell, but nobody's looking at within the house itself.
She emailed him eventually, like right after that, and never got a response. Well, she said, remember when you assaulted me? You remember how you acted like you loved me and cared for me in order for me to cooperate in such acts, only to run out the vehicle later, fall to your knees begging forgiveness for me to not tell anyone what had just happened? Well, I remember. Hashtag me too.
Come on.
Savage has continued his war on sex with a Sex Nation series railing against homosexuality, pornography, divorce, and sexual atheism. So he made a living off, he's making a living. Wow. Jules Woodson has filed a police report about the incident. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they can do anything this far away from the incident though. But how much of this was her being persuaded not to act because everybody she told ended up de-escalating everything into like, let's just sweep this under the rug, let's not treat this guy any differently. I think you get the message at some point that nobody cares and no one's gonna try to help you out of this. Right. It's all about him.
Right. And most women know that and they understand that, so they act accordingly. It's a lot of women that will die on their graves and have been assaulted by a lot of men, a lot of famous people who we will never know, because they don't want to have to deal with the backlash.
Yeah, you don't have the money for all this shit. You don't have the time to get justice.
You don't want to deal with being harassed.
Yeah, what, I don't even know what the fuck sexual atheism is.
I don't know.
This is sounding like some new shit they made up. STR.org has a blog, "What is sexual atheism and why is it wrong?" video. Many Christians handle sexuality just fine. For the rest of the world handles it as if there are no standards. Alan explains why this is a problem for those who profess to be Christ followers. That shit is...
I was recently asked to explain what's wrong with sexual atheism. Now, in order to answer this question, we first have to answer what sexual atheism is. And the answer is simple, and that is that sexual atheism treats sexuality as if there's no God. In other words, when a person decides about how to behave, morally speaking, with regards to their own sexuality, they are going to decide in the same way that an atheist does. And of course, an atheist doesn't believe there's a God, and so therefore there is no God out there in order to inform their own moral behavior. And so the Christian, therefore, acts in the same way that an atheist does. They say, look, with regards to my sexual behavior, I'm going to assume there's no God, and I'm going to engage in sex outside of marriage, and I'm going to act and behave the way an atheist does with regards to that. Now, recently there was a study done by ChristianMingle.com.
I can't lie, I legitimately don't know what the fuck that just meant. You know, you understand it? What he's saying?
Somewhat. I think he was saying that when it comes to sex, you know, because quote unquote, according to the word, you know, when it comes to marriage, you do things, you know, as a husband and a wife. He was saying that a lot of them think that there's Christians who are Christians and say, okay, I'm a Christian, but when it comes to my sex and sexuality, that part of my life, I'm not going to put up underneath the Bible. I'm going to separate it. So I'm going to treat that part of my life like God isn't there or isn't watching or isn't looking. So it's sexual atheism. Which actually is, I think, something they completely made up. Like it completely made up. This is some shit that, it's like old school people would go, you just sinning, quote unquote. That's what that is, but you say this thing to make it look cute, to kind of cover it up, to make it not seem as bad. Mm-hmm. But that's a flowery phrase to put on it.
Where they surveyed a number of 18 to 59 year olds, and they asked them a question. Would you engage in sex outside of marriage? And surprisingly, about 63% of respondents said, yes, we would engage in sex outside of marriage. That's what sexual atheism is. It's Christians engaging in sex outside of marriage and saying, you know what, we don't care what the Bible says. We're just going to act as if there is no God that informs our moral decisions. I suppose it's pretty obvious as to why a Bible-believing Christian would think that such an action, like sexual atheism, is wrong.
Right, just old-fashioned.
Yeah, fucking. My thing. This dude preaches against sexual atheism and has a fucking assault on his record. And this is just the one we know of.
Just the one we're willing to come out.
At this point with her story, we know that the entire church is complicit in covering shit up for him. So now, how many other people were there? He was in a position to counsel you. Who else did he drive back there? What else has he tried? You know, that's wild. At any rate, so he actually went and apologized for his sin in front of his congregation. So because she forced the issue, and now he has to discuss this stuff because it actually did happen. And he got a standing ovation. Mm-hmm. Ain't God good? Mm-hmm. So yeah, got a standing ovation for apologizing for the sin. Don't know if he apologized to her, but he apologized for engaging in a sexual incident with a high school student 20 years ago. He's an author and a podcast host. He remains on the High Point staff. Repercussions have begun for what Woodson says happened 2 decades ago. Times reported on Monday afternoon, Christian publishing company Bethany House canceled the July publication of Savage's book, The Ridiculously Good Marriage. Yeah, I can see why you have to do that. Also on Monday, the Commercial Appeal in Memphis reported that the Austin Stone Community Church in Austin, Texas, placed staff member Larry Cotton on leave. Yeah, because that's the dude that covered it up. He was an associate pastor.
Right, because it's easy to blame one person than to actually go after the whole system.
Mm-hmm. We grieve for what happened to Jules Woodson, said a statement to the Commercial Appeal from Austin Stone's communication director, John Young. No person should ever be subject to sexual sin from any church leader. The church felt it was appropriate to ensure Cotton's qualifications for his current role of leadership. In order to remove our potential bias from the situation, I guess you would probably be pretty biased. since you employ him, right? We place Cotton on leave of absence while an investigation by a third party organization is undertaken. We will provide a full report to the church after its completion. Woodson graphically shared her story. We talked about that. After she did, Savage went on social media saying he had a sexual incident with a female high school senior when he was a college student working for a Texas Baptist church now known as Stonebridge. Savage, who helped found High Point Church, said he responded in a biblical way. What does that even mean? I prayed about it. I mean, that's in the Bible, right?
Yeah, because you know, and the thing is,
I stoned her to death. Right. That's the biblical way.
The thing is, and this is what kind of kills me when it comes to this. It's like, okay, I admitted that I did and I'm wrong and only God can judge me. Yes, but you know what? There are fucking laws. There are laws that you have to abide by too.
Laws can judge you.
Right. And laws can condemn you too. And you have to deal with the consequences of your actions. If the law said this is the punishment for your actions, they don't give a damn about your Jesus.
Also that, please forgive me, Jesus, please, baby, please. You That's not necessarily the closure of it, because she was still, what if she said no? So now I'm stuck out here in a dirt road by myself in the middle of the night, like, and hoping you don't do something to me if I say no.
Hoping you don't kick me out.
Or rape me or some shit. Like, nigga, fuck you mean? Until now, I did not know there was unfinished business with Jules, because you stopped caring. She told other people. They escalated up the chain. You think nobody made him aware of that? You know? That's crazy. Jules, I'm very deeply sorry for my actions 20 years ago. I remain committed to cooperate with you toward forgiveness and healing. When he finished, church members stood and applauded. Yeah, the other thing is, if you believe that, why then you didn't say nothing when she emailed you and you waited until she went public? If you believe that, you could, cause like, honest, let's say you wanted to keep it private. I don't really give a fuck, to be honest. It didn't happen to me.
Correct.
But, let's say she might have been willing to be like, listen, this is some shit we can handle behind the scenes, you know, or she could have said, these are the things I want for restitution. I do want a public apology. I do want you to come out and talk about being a hypocrite, blah, blah. No, you ignored her when she emailed you. So of course, in the absence of a response, and this is a human nature thing, in the absence of a response, people will always assume the fucking worst. It's human nature.
It is.
You know, and I'm not even saying people are wrong. Mm-hmm. You're probably right. If you hit somebody up and say, this is an issue, and they basically go, I'm not telling you shit, then they probably don't give a fuck. You know, we make time for what we care about. He didn't care. He could have emailed her back.
He didn't care.
Hey, you know what? You brought that up. I thought that I had talked, you know, dealt with this back then, but I clearly have not. What can I do to make this better? You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite on this thing. Nah. You were like, hopefully she'll go away. Don't panic, right? Don't react.
And she didn't.
And your ass got fried. But then, what does it matter? Your congregation clapped for you. They don't give a fuck.
No, they don't, because they're not their daughters.
Former Idaho lawmaker shot and killed himself amid a sexual abuse investigation. 3 months after he abruptly resigned from the state house and a criminal investigation to alleged sexual abuse emerged, a former Idaho lawmaker shot and killed himself. A relative found Brandon Hickson, 36, former Republican state representative and well-known local figure, dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. Hickson's death comes as the nation reckons with reports of sexual assault and harassment, with dozens of men falling from positions of power of entertainment, business, and media and politics as allegations come to light. Hickson was elected in 2012. He was among the youngest lawmakers to win a seat in the state legislature. Criminal investigation launched in October by Caldwell police alleged Hickson was involved in a possible sexual abuse incident. According to documents obtained by the Idaho Attorney General's office by Washington Post, Hickson had also been at the center of a 2014 separate investigation alleging inappropriate touching while babysitting. Hickson in 2014 denied the allegations and told police he believed they would destroy his political career. According to the AP, it's unclear whether the new investigations are connected to the 2014 case. He resigned in October during his third term, which was not to end until 2018 in November. I hope that my efforts have helped improve the lives of my constituents. Why do you even want to be a politician if you can't not touch kids? I will never forget all of my colleagues and this other shit. The former lawmaker's death comes 1 month after Kentucky lawmaker Dan Johnson, who was accused of molesting his friend of his 17-year-old daughters during a sleepover at home in 2013, shot and killed himself 2 days after the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting published an account of the incident by his accuser. It's amazing how these dudes will literally kill themselves. They will literally kill themselves rather than face justice for what they did.
Right.
You know, and in many cases, these two dudes are Republican white males.
Nothing's gonna happen to them. Probably would not have
gotten in as much trouble as, you know, somebody else would have.
Correct.
And even still, couldn't even face it. Johnson, a state representative and self-proclaimed Pope of his Louisville church, had also denied the allegations, but said in a Facebook post before his death that he and his family felt tormented by the reports. Yeah, that's, to me, I know that, you know, I hate to sound callous about somebody that killed themselves, but to me, like, the ultimate slap in the face is when these people kill themselves and then be like, but I didn't do it. This is a witch hunt. I'm just killing myself because y'all is tripping, but it's nothing to do with me feeling guilty or actually doing that shit or wanting to see it, not wanting to see it proven in court. No. It's just y'all, it's like another slap in the face of the people that had the courage to speak up and be like, this person abused me.
Right.
It's like, I can still control the situation from beyond the grave.
Right.
I will never give you the closure. I will never admit to it. I will gaslight you to my death. That is like that. That's what I hear when I see these fucking, he said he didn't do it to it and then killed himself. I'm like, okay, all right. Sorry for his family and friends and shit. I mean, you know, I'm sure many of them either didn't know or had nothing to do with this shit, but still.
Correct.
Like, that's just some wild shit.
It's like, almost like a double suffering.
Matter of fact, Mark Salling from Glee, the dude who pled guilty to possession of child pornography, killed himself at 35 today.
Wow.
Yeah, like, this is like a thing. It's a whole ass thing. Like, do some child abuse, get called out for it, and then kill yourself. Like, before anybody can get any closure, a day in court, justice a lot of times.
Or
you know,
people do good investigation.
Yeah, I mean, it might say something about how we as a society view that child molestation shit. Like, once you get convicted, people feel like, oh yeah, now you can, I hope you get raped in prison and shit like that. Like, we definitely don't believe in rehabilitation for people that abuse children, you know, and I don't know what the morality of that is. It really ain't
right.
Not my lane, don't know the rules, not trying to say, but maybe it says something about us as a society that we pick those people to be like, you know, kill yourself. You know what I mean? Like, we don't do that with actual, like, just rapists. Like, if you rape an adult, you can go play basketball again. You can be the world heavyweight champion. You can
be the president.
You can be a lot of things and be a person that rapes grown people. But, when we consider somebody to be a straight up pedophile, it's like they gotta die. Anyway, two more women accused Nelly of sexual assault.
Two more.
That's an interesting coincidence, I guess. One woman said that, at a concert after party in June in 2016, he, stuck his hand up her dress. According to an amended complaint initially filed by the accuser, Monique Green, the second new accuser claims the rapper masturbated in front of her in the dressing room after a concert in December 2017. She also claimed he grabbed her head in an attempt to demand oral sex. Yeah, these dudes be feeling like I can treat you like anything because you're a woman and you're around me and I'm fucking Nelly. You know? It's just so wild. Like, we are that entitled. It's just like, you know, that's why I think when people said that season, sorry shit, they were so like, I don't know about this one. I think that's why, it's because this is just male behavior. It's not so, you know, I think the common out, how common it was why it was a good chance to talk about it.
Right.
But obviously,
nobody really wants to have those nuanced conversations, because once you really get down to it and really start talking about the nuances of those conversations, this more commonly happens to women.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever wants to admit that they participated in it. And nobody ever wants to admit, because if you admit the shit that he did was creepy, you have to admit the shit that you did was creepy too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
I mean, because people don't even want to call the shit fucking creepy.
Jane Doe 1 said she's a happily married mom stationed in the UK with the military. She bought VIP tickets to a show where she and a friend could take photos with him backstage. Doesn't mean I want to fuck you, dog.
It doesn't.
Just, hey, I took a picture at the Nelly concert. If it was a dude that bought some VIP tickets to take a picture with you and be like, and now to pull out my dick.
Right. It's like everything a woman does around you isn't an invitation to put a pussy on a platter.
She might just think you're a cool guy and like your music.
Right.
It happens. Then, because the room was crowded, he suggests they move to another smaller VIP room, which they did. The documents describe Jane Doe 2 as a mother of three who attended a Nelly concert with a group of friends. They decided to pay to have a picture taken with the performer. He asked her twice to follow him into a room so they could talk. The second time, Nelly closed the door, stood in front of it, and dropped his trousers. Green, who first accused the Hot in Here star of rape in October and then dropped her case after refusing to work with local police, is still seeking an injunction against him, asking the judge to demand he stop assaulting women. She sued him for sexual assault and defamation in December. In December, Nelly's attorney told us Green's accusation, Nelly has suffered very real damage to his reputation. He's incurred economic loss and painfully has watched his family suffer. As a result, Nelly is planning to proceed with litigation as the first step of restoring his reputation. Yeah, and keep in mind, she dropped her lawsuit because the police were supposed to be keeping her identity secret, and it leaked. People were texting her, phoning her, and all kinds of shit. And even the police admitted that they fucked that up.
So how was I going to get a fair trial?
Yep. All right, let's move into some other shit. I know this is a lot, guys, but I feel like we have a duty to cover this shit. I think so.
Let people know this shit is real and this ain't no shit that people making up.
Yeah, I think you know what bothers me, and the reason I feel like we have to cover these things is too many people will dismiss these things. They don't even read these stories.
No, they don't.
They don't know any of the details. They don't care. And I guess it bothers me on a certain level to watch people do that over and over and over again, to be like, well, what, I mean, you say that, but what has Scott Baio done? I mean, why are y'all hating on Scott Baio? He was Charles in charge, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, did you read the article? Did you see what they said?
No.
Okay. Well, Nelly never did nothing to know. I know people that ran around the internet proclaiming that dude's innocence. Like, not just, this was inconclusive, or, you know, where the case, you know, she had the case filed up by the police, so she let it. I know people who full out were like, shame on y'all. He obviously didn't do it. Nothing happened. Cause they don't read shit. They read a title and then they run around. So I do feel some obligation to talk about these things on the show, to go back and be like, yo, this dude got accused by two more women. When are we gonna say maybe something is happening here? And it's okay to not jump to your favorite rapper. So, not even y'all's favorite rapper, but just people, a rapper's defense, because we know him. You know? That's all I'm saying. So, yeah, you know, for the foreseeable future, I'm going to continue to try to cover these things. And, I mean, the stories are piling up. I don't think we'll ever get to all of them.
Mm-mm, it's like a bottomless pit.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll try to speed through some, but I just feel like we need to cover these things, because everybody else seems more interested in the salacious headlines, but not the actual stories of what's happening to people.
Mm-mm.
All right, let's see what else we can do. How much time we got left? Right, we got a little bit. We got 30 minutes, and then we can always add another session too. All right, let's do some fucking with black people.
Black
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game we go all around the globe, find different articles, make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's see who's fucking with us today. An Air Force sergeant is under investigation for racially insensitive Facebook rant.
Facebook gonna be the downfall of folks.
Listen, bigots and Facebook never met a better match.
Come on.
An Air Force sergeant's under investigation for blasting lower-ranked black females at Nellis Air Force Base in a profanity-laced Facebook rant. Officials at the Las Vegas base says Tech Sergeant Geraldine Lovely was removed from her supervisory role after viral footage of a racially insensitive tirade surfaced over the weekend. It pisses me the fuck off that they have no respect and constantly have an attitude. Lovely can be heard saying in the since deleted video, what the fuck is up with that? A second version of the footage uploaded Monday garnered more than 900,000 views. According to Las Vegas Sun, she was wearing her Air Force uniform in the video. Well, we don't want anybody to have to guess where you work.
Right?
Let's not let them have to actually do some work.
Did you come in with stripes too? Did they see your stars?
They're talking down to me. I'm trying to tread lightly as a high ranking non-commissioned officer to not blow the fuck up and start a fight club, she raved in the footage. Every time I fucking talk to them, it's like I'm some stupid ass girl. That doesn't even deserve to be talked to as a person, said Lovely, a member of the 99th Force Support Squadron. The base pledged the investigation determined if her remarks were the tip of a broader issue in the military facility. While the actions of this individual are inappropriate and unacceptable, we are using this unfortunate situation to continue dialogue with our airmen about the topic of good order and discipline. Mm-hmm. 0 to 100, Karen? I mean, black female?
I know, 100. Is she not? My thing is this. She probably not saying how she's talking to people. Oh, they got attitude. How are you talking to them?
Right.
Would you might be doing and saying shit to provoke an attitude.
I don't trust your judgment if you thought any of this is a good idea.
Right. I guarantee you coming at them sideways, so they coming at you.
Mm-hmm. So, I personally got to give it 100. I somehow doubt that you were able to navigate that situation as gracefully as you probably could have.
Right.
Okay, let's just say that. Let's see what else we got here. Serves him right. Appalachian State tennis player suspended after telling a black opponent, at least I know my dad.
That old I know my daddy trick.
That's some pretty good racism.
Yeah, it's a lot of y'all. So most niggas don't got two parents' homes.
I don't know, but that's some good racism. That's what I do.
That's
know.
Mwah.
Sunday night, John Wilson, senior class president at the historically black college, North Carolina A&T. Took to Twitter to reveal that he had been the victim of racism during his tennis match against Spencer Brown of Appalachian State. Boy, you could not have a better whiter name than Spencer Brown. Yeah, apparently said, during our match today, along with other racist comments, he told me, at least I know my dad. Their coach responded by saying, we have a black guy on our team. Then he said, black Twitter, do your thing.
No, black Twitter is the CSI, honey. They're like, okay, we own it, honey. They'll find out your background, where you work, how many accounts you have.
Why isn't there a black Twitter CSI TV show by now?
I would love that shit. Look, I would love that shit.
We have every other CSI on TV at this point. There's no black Twitter CSI.
You know, I would love that shit. I would love for them to have like an account and somebody hit the account and somebody like, I'm on it.
Like, I just want them figuring out who said some racist shit every fucking, I swear to God, I'd live tweet it. I'd watch it appointment fucking viewing. I don't give a fuck if it start a little Bow Wow. Yes. I would fucking watch that shit every week them just finding random bigots who post shit on the internet and going to their jobs and fucking shit up.
Yes, I would love it. They be at their job working it, but like, yes, Jim, yes, you're Jim, is your hashtag @ILoveDonaldTrump, that's you, right? Yes, yeah, that's you with the eagle flag. Yes. Well, I wanted you to know that I have been doing some investigating. Who are you? No. Who I am is not important here.
I want to see them do shit like Google image search the dog you use as your avatar on Twitter to find out that that's your real dog.
Yes!
And what pet store you bought them from, and like find a town in Idaho and like find that nigga and be like, it could be just like the other shows, like the other detective and TV shows and shit, where it's like they go in and interview the pet store owner and stuff.
Yes, have a team.
You know, a man was in here. He bought this chihuahua a couple of years ago. I mean, you know, I did think that guy was kind of strange, you know. And then they could always have like the misleading details and stuff where they think it's one dude, you know, that guy that always overshares when they, oh shit. You know, that guy that always overshares when they go to meet him, like that person in every episode where it's like, you know, it's like a mechanic and he's like working on a car underneath it, and then they come in and then he like slides from underneath the car and they're like, James Smith? And he's like, yeah, you look, who's asking? And then like, did you send a racist tweet out? Do you have a Twitter handle for so-and-so? No, but I do hate black people, and if I would've, I would've done it too, but I don't have the internet cause I ain't able to pay my cable bill or whatever, you know. That like, dude,
damn it, it ain't you,
right?
Or either have something where, you know, somebody has a picture of like camping and like it's like a special tent, and that tent is only made in like a certain part of the country, and
right,
like only a certain maker does it.
And all the black Twitter CSI people, they not even police.
No,
they just people. Like, it's not like the other CSIs where it's like they show up and it's like, oh damn, so and so cracked the case because that's his job. Like, no, it's just black people being like, hold up, that's the Lowe's over off 4th Street.
Come on.
And then like they show up and like, whose fucking car is this in the background? I know that license plate. That's registered.
Yes.
To this guy. Like,
or you know what? Or either they, like you said, they fuck around and have like a McDonald's or something, and like they'll go through their Twitter shit and find a McDonald's, and somebody
right.
Be like, and somebody be like, I know that McDonald's. That McDonald's near my bus stop. Right. Off of 72.
And the thing is, they don't we get the people fired. Like, we don't get actual justice. Like, they
no.
Go to jail. Everybody just get fired. You know
yes.
What I'm saying? It's like,
we got human resources on their asses.
Right, they just lose their jobs and shit. It's like, oh, this nigga don't work at AMC movies no more, at AMC theaters, cause he said some racist shit and put it on the Snapchat.
Or you know what, they would go and they would be like, let's say whoever it is, like at the movie theaters, and they would like, hey black, you could see it like real time. Hey black Twitter, the person works at this store, hashtag such and such, and you can see it in real time. People just start lighting it up.
Well, not just, I don't see, the Twitter part is not that important to the show. The show is live action, so we can show that moment, but that's not the, I don't want to show like the whole trends and all the jokes yet. Like, I want to show like when that tweet comes and says, you know, hold on, let me go to the we at the time limit. Give me 1 second, guys, we're coming right back. We'll get right back to this. Give me 1 second.
Yes.
But yeah, well, I'll explain as soon as I get everybody back in here.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, and it'll be one of those things to where it's more about the investigation.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, you know, these shows take like an hour, so you know, we have time for a lot of stuff. But yeah, it's not just about black Twitter, because we experienced that on the black Twitter side of it.
Right.
Like, we've all been there for like, oh, we watched this racist person lose their job. No, that, like, that part is cool, but that ain't what the show gonna be about. The show is gonna be like, we go, like, someone tweets out like, hey guys, I checked this IP address and they got an account here, and also they live in this city. And then the other thing, like, it come back later and be like, yeah, that means they work at this store, and that's where this tweet was sent from, and we know it's this guy, so let's tag the store. Hey H&M, do you know you employing a racist, Randy Smith, da da da. And so so like, you show that little bit of like the tweets and stuff, but you mostly show what happens off. So like,
right.
What does H&M do when they get the tweet? Like, what is this? What? Go get Randy, you know? And they like bring him in. They have like a little meeting. Like, are you the critter getter 37 on? You know, like, I want to see that. You know, just
yeah,
every week. Just because, listen, we have enough material.
We have enough
material. We cover this every day on this fucking show. Somebody be racist and lose their goddamn job.
Right.
Black Twitter CSI,
We could make this shit happen.
And you know what? And I would like it whenever they get a thing. It'll be like, Black Twitter. Mm-hmm. Yes! I wonder what the theme song. Who would make the theme song?
I don't know who would make. I haven't thought about all this. This is all off the top of my head. I don't know. But I just feel like, you know, we would definitely need to pool our resources and make this happen. Ava DuVernay, if you're listening to this, listen. Okay, we can make this happen. Black Twitter CSI.
We can make this happen.
I mean, you got Catfish. Like, what's this would be better than Catfish, okay? Finding these motherfuckers. But see, that's a reality show. I want to dramatize it. You know, like, I want to have it. Because that's the other thing. Just like the CSIs and the NYPD shows and shit, they all can do, like, story of the week. You know, the news of the day. We can do, like, news of the day. Like, white girls in blackface. We could do like a whole episode of just these white girls that put on that fucking black face makeup and they think it's so cute to be like, yeah, nigger, 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 nigger. And then we just have like, you know, Black Twitter do your thing. And then just like that. Oh my God. The CSI person that's the head of like our recurring role. That could be their catchphrase every week. Black Twitter. Do your thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit. They're black Twitter CSI zone.
Yes.
Oh man.
I am all in.
If Angela Bassett new show don't work out, maybe we get to do this.
Come on.
Angela Bassett busting people up. Oh my God.
Come on. Mm-mm-mm. I would like it.
Oh. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, okay. So then they said after yesterday's tennis match, Appalachian State University responded. After yesterday's men's tennis match, an Appalachian State student and athlete engaged in behavior that was derogatory and offensive. Student athlete has been suspended indefinitely from the team, effective immediately, for violating the student athlete discipline policy. We have reached out to NCAAT to convey our apologies on behalf of the Appalachian Athletics and the university for the conduct of this member of the team. We'll see if that's enough. We'll see how long indefinitely is, but oh yeah, I'm absolutely here for that. Thank you. Good. Get rid of them. 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Yeah. I knew my ad. I hate when white people say racist shit like that, because it's like, you don't even fucking know me, man. Like, somebody tried to do that to Justin one time. Well, you need to get a job. I was like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about? Fucking racist piece of shit. Do some research.
Right.
Anyway.
At least know what you're talking about if you're going to be racist.
Yeah, fucking 100. A black conservative got upset about the shithole comment. Appearing on CNN Monday afternoon, former Donald Trump administration staffer, who was fired for criticizing the president, went after him again following weeks of the commander-in-chief attacking African nations as shitholes and culminating with Trump going after hip-hop entrepreneur Jay-Z on Twitter. Okay. I hate to be this guy. I hate to do this, but what were you ever doing over there? You know, it's like seeing a sheep hang out with a pack of wolves. What the fuck are you even doing over there?
Nah, you know, you
I am you offended were... you would try to bite me.
Right.
How dare you? I come over here to hang with you wolves, and next thing you know, y'all motherfuckers got the knives and forks out.
I mean, the other sheep kept telling me not to bring my ass over here, but I was determined this is what I wanted to do.
Who could have seen this coming? I just don't.
They kept telling me, come back, come back. I didn't want to listen.
I try to give him a chance, try to keep an open mind. I don't like just assuming the worst of people. And here I am, tied up on the dinner plate with an apple in my mouth. Funny. Ain't did some shit. Yeah, speaking of CNN host Brianna Keeler, the CNN regular, and CNN regular April Ryan, Sher Michael sing. Sorry, it's not funny. Sure, Michael Singleton was hey man, do y'all be knowing y'all giving y'all kids Republican names? Like, maybe that's why they Republican. You know? Maybe it's our fault. You know, Paris, Sher Michael, like maybe it's our fault really. It's like, well, what was he supposed to do other than go on TV and be a fucking pundit for Republicans? I don't know. Like, what's that kid's name? You know what I'm talking about? That black kid that is always like,
I forgot that.
Whatever that little motherfucker's name. Paris Denard? Not Paris Denard. What the fuck is that little kid's name? He got one of them names too. Like, he get kicked on. You know? Like, he get picked on and go home and be like, give me my YouTube camera, mama. I'm gonna talk bad about these black people. CJ Pearson. Yeah, they just got them names, man. Anyway, he said, we had Eminem a couple weeks ago. April Ryan said, we had Eminem a couple weeks ago who went in on the president. He basically drew a line in the sand and said, if you're with him, you're not with me. Don't even talk to me, to his fans. And Trump never responded to Eminem. Nope. And that's still being played on YouTube. But with Jay-Z, another rapper who happens to be black, Eminem is white, Jay-Z is black. This president, Jay-Z, touched on humanity more than anything else, she continued. He said, they're beautiful people and with beautiful everything. When you think about the black and brown populations, a lot of people go by their feelings and with what they think. And they talk about Tarzan movies swinging from trees, and that's not Africa. To mm-hmm. April's point, why did Trump respond to Jay-Z and not Eminem, Keeler said to Singleton. Singleton said, it leads to a lot of people questioning President Trump's standing on racial issues, people of different ethnicity. I can understand why people may say maybe he does have an issue with people who are not white. Adorable. I can see how they could, I mean, you know, coincidentally come to that conclusion. Look, as African American, I'm proud of our community, he elaborated, growing more passionate as he spoke. We are the product of slaves. People who, did someone flash a camera between these sentences? What happened? We are the product of slaves, people who were brought here from an unfamiliar place, and in spite of all these things, look at the progress we've made. So in spite of Trump's hateful rhetoric, we will continue to make progress in the right direction. And for those listening to his words, screw Donald Trump. He will continue to make things better, he exclaimed, at which point Ryan laughed and blurted, wow. We will continue to make things better. And April Ryan laughed and blurted, wow, while Keela seemed startled.
Because this almost had a character.
Then he grabbed April Ryan by the shoulders and his nose started bleeding. He said, get out! Then that was the end. I don't know
what happened after that.
Yeah, he said, I find the black experience to be quite,
Yeah, he looked at April Ryan and said, No.
Oh man, we don't have much time left. let's do some guest arrays. Anyway, 0 to 100 for that awakening.
50.
I give him a 50. He tried. Poor little tank tank over there messing with them wolves. Now that it's time for some guest arrays. That's right, it's guest arrays time. Now that it's time for some guest arrays. That's right, it's guest arrays time. That's right, it's time for guest arrays. The number one game going across all the podcasts, and we need to play news articles from all over the globe. We ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, they're all racist. All right. See what you guys have to say today for yourselves. A man confesses to killing his neighbor, clearing snow from his driveway.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. A Michigan man charged with murdering his neighbor confessed to killing a woman after seeing her blowing snow out of his driveway. Court records show Wendell Earl Popejoy, 63, of Ottawa County, confessed to shooting his neighbor, Sheila Bong, 59. According to court documents obtained by Grand Haven Tribune, Popejoy, who had no previous criminal record, told Ottawa County Sheriff's Office Detective Ann Coster that he made the decision to kill the woman after seeing her outside on December 26th, blowing snow from the easement driveway in front of his home. Wendell stated that he had made that decision when he saw Sheila to kill her, Coster said during the hearing. For what fucking possible reason?
Was she cleaning his driveway? He was like, fuck you, bitch. I don't comprehend this.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to help you out as a good neighbor.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of space between, I don't want you to do that and I'm gonna kill you. You know? Wendell stated he made that decision. Coster said during a hearing Sunday, according to the court transcript, he then grabbed a gun from his home, went out to the easement where Sheila was blowing the snow. Wendell stated he went up behind Sheila, shot her in the back of the head, and disposed of her body behind his residence. Police found Bong's body 2 days later. She had been reported missing by relatives earlier that week, after last being seen December 24th at her home. MLive.com reports. Popejoy was arrested December 29th and was arraigned Tuesday in Grand Haven District Court on charges of open murder or using a firearm in commission of a felony. Details of the relationship between them are unclear, but a friend of Bong's told WZZM that she had an ongoing dispute with several neighbors. One of the women's neighbors, not Pope Joy, unsuccessfully sought a protection order against her and her fiance. According to court documents obtained by the station, the order pertaining to a disagreement regarding Bong's use of an easement was not granted, however. What the fuck is an easement? Is this like some... Is this neighborhood just... That's the easement beef in this neighborhood?
Right!
Like, yo, man, you not fuck around with easements over here, B. Okay? You step on my easement, you catch one in the head. I don't give a fuck.
Right?
Deputies from Ottawa County Sheriff's Office have been called to the neighborhood more than 5 times recently about disputes between neighbors. Bong's family, meanwhile, said they're still in shock due to the heinous nature of the crime. I don't know.
Put it in the chat room.
What an easement is?
Mm-hmm.
So allowed to use... easement is the allowed use of another land written into your mortgage agreement. The right to cross or otherwise use someone else's land for specified. So, oh, I guess they was fighting over this shared land they had or something. Anyway, guess the race of the man who shot this woman. Window error or Pope Joy.
That sounds mighty white.
All right, Karen's going with white. The chat room, let's see what they believe. Tiki Torch Mail Packet White, Suburban Craze, Crazy White, As the Driven Snow White. That name is so Caucasian, it just called me a nigger. White, property value went up. White, I don't want them niggers on my land. White, white, they handcuffed him in front and allow him to put a hat over his face. White, niggers don't care, don't clear snow and would be glad somebody to do it for him. White, 12 inches of snow. White, homicide atheist. I don't know what race that is. Winter Olympic white, black gums, black man, 6 degrees of crazy right. The correct answer is white. And some of you guys missed it. One of you missed it.
Race was the woman. It don't
say. I don't know. Don't it, say.
Right, and I don't think she was white.
That's interesting.
Just by her last name. So I think racism may have played a part too. For you to go that far.
Well, whatever happened, I just know that crime was cold blooded. All right. All right, let's go to the next one. I know, guys, it was chilling. Sorry, I meant to start it over, but whatever, you get the point. How about this one? An anti-gambling crusader who shut down raffles wins $25,000 in a gambling parlor sweepstakes.
Okay.
Hypocrite.
Oh, so he anti-gambling, but he won something?
She.
Oh, she won something. I'm sorry.
Kathy Gilroy has crusaded against gambling for decades, speaking out against casinos, illegal raffles, and a recent wave of video poker cafes. As one of the most visible gaming opponents in Illinois, she has warned that the vice erodes society's values and work ethic, takes money from poor people, and can lead to addiction, bankruptcy, crime, and suicide. Just this year, she blew the whistle on a $1.6 million Queen of Hearts raffle put on by the Veterans of Foreign Wars post in rural Morris, forcing it to shut down hours before the planned drawing until the raffle was properly licensed. So even she concedes it may seem ironic that she recently won $25,000 by playing a sweepstakes game at a gambling cafe in her hometown of Villa Park. All those dedicated gamblers that spent their lives in quarters giving it away, and she just comes in and wins.
I call her, and I know this probably illegal. I had people be like, you know what, you don't get nothing.
I called a pastor friend and said, oh my god, should I send it back? What do I donate it? He said don't feel guilty, you just got paid for all your volunteer work against gambling. It's God showing his grace on me. Despite God just be down with anything. It just depends on what you want him to do that day.
Right.
She been using God to say nobody should gamble. Then she gambles and wins, and she's like, this is just God helping me out. You know, as no. Now he didn't help your ass out, okay? Your winnings, that's the devil. My winnings, Jesus. Despite her long time anti-gambling activism, it turns out she has a history of playing and winning sweepstakes. Duh, this is just like that dude that doesn't, he believe in sexual atheism, right? He against that. She said she's landed prizes including electronics and trips to the Bahamas and California. She once won a big screen TV from a mechanic, but it asked instead for $1,000 in service. A week later, her transmission went out and she quickly got her money's worth. She'll even play the video poker machines at gambling cafes if she is given a free promo card.
But you don't want no...
The distinction she makes is she's not spending her own money to gamble. She entered sweepstakes because by state law, they must be made available free of charge. And unlike VFW game that was not licensed as required by law, she says the sweepstakes she plays are perfectly legal.
But you still gambling.
You say it's immoral. You don't say it's illegal.
Right.
There is a difference. Right. You want to shut down the legal shit too. She's just trying to get more of y'all gamblers out the pool, so she got a chance.
I think so too.
She's 68. She works selling supplemental health insurance for people on Medicare. She shrugs out the negative comments she's gotten over the years, such as when she succeeded in hawking a rifle to raise money for needy college students because it was unlicensed and not put on by a nonprofit as required by law.
Do you know how many enemies she's done made by doing this bullshit? Like, this is stuff people do all the time. You like, well, you ain't got no license.
She's worried that her winnings were proceeds from money that people lost gambling, but decide that it comes out of the profits of the parent company. Oh, she just decided. Okay. Anyway, guess the race.
Oh, this woman is white.
All right, check the chat room, see what you guys believe. Good grief. Must be nice, huh?
Must be nice.
So white, Sage still couldn't wait to defend her. Aww. Odds are you'll have fun because you're white. 53% hypocrite, ain't shit white, but all my chips are white. Every single part of this story is premium white woman head assery. Phyllis Schaffley white had a 53% chance of winning. White, say still white, and I'm putting my money on white. The correct answer is white. Y'all got it. And I'll put it on screen so you can see what she looks like. I don't think anyone missed that one. So you guys pat yourselves on the back. Yeah, she won. That's so wild. And then said it was from God. The audacity, the caudacity of this woman to then pull the, guys, Jesus gave me this money. I don't know what y'all sinners been doing, but.
Right. And the thing about it, only a white person would have that much goddamn time. Niggas is working. Ain't nobody got no time to be protesting folks gambling.
She like 68 too. Like, that's wild. All right. Let's do one more. We'll get out of here. Can a rack of ribs fit in your pants?
Ah, can they?
A 26-year-old man was arrested after a report that he removed a full rack of ribs from his waistband.
A nigga.
The man accused December 15th of pulling pilfered meat from his pants was identified by Martin County Sheriff's deputies as Maeli Aguilar Alvarez of Indiantown. Only him and Nelly like pulling meat from their pants unsolicited. It's unclear whether the ribs were beef or pork. A further search yielded 2 packs of hamburger buns, 9 pieces of fried chicken, and some mashed potatoes.
What kind of coat did he have? Goddamn, coat pants?
All of which he secured using the 5-finger discount. Aguilar Alvarez, hold on, this pop-up happened, is not accused of skipping a cornucopia of comestibles. I don't know what that means, but plenty for a picnic. There was no reports of condiments such as barbecue sauce or ketchup or beverages such as soda or water being stolen. Investigators reported he smelled of booze and was intoxicated. He was arrested on a retail theft charge in connection with the $32.49 heist. Guess the race of Mr. Maeli Aguilar Alvarez.
I'm gonna change my vote. I'm gonna go to with a Latino.
Okay, all right. Let's see what these voters in the chat room have in their pants. Afro Latino rite of heritage ritual. This administration gonna deport his ass. Oh yeah, State of the Union gonna be about him. Also had room in his pants for oranges to sell on the highway. Come on. Come on, buddy, Latino, Latinx, I don't know, Latinx. Mm-hmm. Back's so wet he can swim on it. Latino. McRib is Hispanic. Carne la negra Latinx. He put down, I will bring meat Hispanic. This, his pants were low rider Latino. Oh my God. The correct answer is he's Latino. Or Latinx. Sorry. Let me, put it on screen for you guys. And they will do sword ratchetness and get out of here for the Flash. And then, of course, Black Lightning.
Yeah.
The real State of the Union.
The real State of the Union, right?
Mm-hmm. The only State of the Union I care about. The union of that man and his fine-ass ex-wife.
Come on. Trying to save his family.
Mm-hmm. Black Lightning's back.
One day you're gonna make it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what we got here. A Twin Falls man claimed he acted in self-defense after being headbutted in the face. He had a sword. He struck another man in the head with a sword. He later claimed it was self-defense. Jeremy William Brown White of Twin Falls was arrested January 20th and charged with aggravated battery. The responding police officer said in the court documents that he was dispatched to the 200 block of Elm Street. It was a nightmare on Elm Street that day after 4 p.m. To find a man bleeding from his head. According to court records, Brown's ex-girlfriend told the officer that Brown went crazy and started moving her things after she told him not to touch them. Meanwhile, another man in the residence began arguing with Brown. Then Brown attempted to hit his girlfriend, she said, and the other man intervened. During the fight, Brown grabbed a Roman sword off the wall and struck the man with it on the top of his head. A third man then intervened to stop the fight. Brown claimed the victim headbutted him in the face and he had used a sword to defend himself. Oh, he sound mad abusive. Mm-hmm. She's lucky them dudes was there. Who knows what the fuck he was planning on doing. He was booked in Twin County Jail and $50,000 bond, a preliminary hearing set February 2nd. We'll be back tomorrow, guys. We'll have the guys from Comedy Outliers, everything goes right. Yay! And can't wait to do that. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.